like to thank the organizer for this wonderful conference, the second wonderful conference. And because the topic is kind of emergence and entanglement, so I try to understand some interesting phenomena in high energy physics, namely this neutrino oscillation and the mass mixing from some topological perspectives. And actually, there's some interesting relation with this topological superconductor. So I suppose this title is not very crazy. Okay, thanks. First I will show you how to define something called the Magellanic ghost, and it's the realization in some real condensed matter system. And then I will discuss this unconventional CPT symmetry for Magellanic ghosts, and try to explain the origin of three generations of neutrinos. I actually can generalize to the origin of three generations of like a quark and a lepton as well. So the origin of neutrino mass and their mass mixing is a very important and interesting phenomenon in high energy physics. And I'm trying to compute these mass mixing matrix with no adjustable parameters from this simple CPT algebra. Yeah. Okay, so we know neutrino for a long time because neutrino kind of like a ghost particle. They extremely weak interactions with other particles and almost vanishing rest mass, and actually billions of neutrinos in our meeting room maybe. Okay, so yeah, so we try to do something called a ghost hunting. So actually there's a very interesting TV show in US called Ghost Hunting anyway. So here, I mean, try to detect this neutrino through the oscillation. So I just briefly tell you what's the neutrino oscillation phenomena. Because there exist three generations of light neutrinos, and actually we identify them through the weak doublets. Because in the experiment, we don't know the neutrino kind of it's kind of mixing between this three generation or not, but we just assume it's doublets of the electrons, so we can identify this called the weak eigenbasis. Okay, but the true neutrino, its mass eigenbasis might be not coincide with the weak eigenbasis. So that's why we get a neutrino oscillation. Suppose at a time zero, we have some like, let's say, weak eigenstates, the electron neutrino, but it's not coincide with the nu1, nu2, the mass eigenstates. So when you propagating, they just mixing if the mass is not equal for these two mass eigenbasis. Okay, so current situation for this neutrino oscillation. This is the most general mixing matrices for the three generation of neutrinos. So in the standard way, people decompose into three pieces. So this piece is called a solar neutrino, and this is called an atmospheric neutrino, just mention different way to measure them. And this middle part now, in this talk, I'm going to ignore this part because it's related to this CP violation, and this theta angle actually is pretty small, and we're just supposed to be one at the moment. The first experiment discovery about this neutrino oscillation in Canada, in Ontario, so it's the right place to talk about this. And then much better measurement from Japan. And this is scenario how to measure this atmospheric neutrinos. So recently, we also discovered, basically in China, that this theta 1-3 is also non-zero, so implying the CP violation physics may potentially exist in lepton sector as well. Okay, so let us just trace back.
To confirm, so this new metric, uh-huh. The metric is diagonalized the mass metric?
Yeah, it's just this transformation is between weak eigenstate to mass eigenstate. Yeah.
And this matrix now is a kind of computed terming?
No, this CP violation angle is not clear.
Delta.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just trace back to Majorana's early work on this elegant Majorana equation. So basically, it's very simple, just like some real solutions for this gamma matrix. It kind of like a square root of this Dirac fermion, because we get everything real, this degree of freedom is reduced by half. Yeah, for those ghost-like neutrinos, kind of a very promising candidate. But from this kind of equation, it's not clear why we need three generations. And it also did not tell us why we have this mixing angles, this kind of high symmetric mystery mixing angle. And so the main goal of this talk, we're trying to understand the origin of neutrino masses through generation and compute their mass mixing matrix by investigating the topological nature of the Majorana particle. Because in this equation, we do not emphasize on its topological nature. We just assume it's some like relativistic field theory. And we refer a topological Majorana particle, namely in Conn's matter, the zero mode, Majorana zero modes, carry unusual CPT symmetry as a Majorana ghost. Okay. So first, I want to talk about some interesting question, how to identify a ghost. So if you ask most of the physicists here, the typical answer may be, there's no ghost, don't worry about that. OK, but if we insist and try to identify a ghost through physics law, we can think of something interesting. So it seems not easy to identify because they're just like a normal human being. And in most TV shows, in most TV, typically yeah, beautiful woman maybe. And yeah, but they do have some strange property. You know, they do have some strange property. They can appear and disappear suddenly. Okay, so we can conclude, oh, it seems that a ghost will have some unusual behavior on the time reversal symmetry. So maybe the time reversal symmetry is a good way to identify a ghost. Okay, so if we say if a particle disappears on the time reversal symmetry, we just call it a ghost. So let me just give you this maybe limited definition. Maybe there are all kinds of ghosts behave different. Okay, so yeah, so I want to claim that Majorana zero modes can have such kind of strange behavior. So let me show you some property of time reversal symmetry for most of the particles we know, like a boson. The time reversal pattern is just itself, and the fermion, it is like it's spin doublets, so just yeah, change the spin when on the time reversal. But this Majorana fermion, you know, it's like just a half degree of freedom. So if we have a pair of Majorana spin now, basically we just have one state, namely we can form like a one particle state or a vacuum. So it's possible to make these two states as a time reversal doublets. So in this case, we can call it a Majorana ghost.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I totally don't understand what you're saying. The thing on the
left hand
side is particle state?
Yeah. I just mean it's a particle state. But
it sits somewhere?
Yeah, because this is two Majorana can form a particle, but the two Majorana can also form a vacuum state. So that's the claim. Why? What do you mean by translation? Just a time reversal, nothing to do with translation.
I think this, you mean this, there's a, you know, Majorana state, you'll have just two degenerate states.
Yeah.
You say that under time reversal, yeah. One state goes into another.
Right.
So this,
Fermion parity even state and Fermion parity odd state, they can just form a doublets.
There's an important distinction between a Majorana zero mode and a Majorana particle.
Yeah, here I'm talking about two Majorana zero modes, so they can form a particle. It's just a 1 degree of freedom.
Basically, you are just so the statement is that the two Majorana become one complex.
Right. Yeah. I was talking about neutrino actually need like four component Majorana modes. So I will talk about that later.
Usually, a particle here makes position symmetry. So how do they convert into something?
Yeah, I will explain that. Yeah, here just to give you some simple condensed matter picture that how to realize such kind of strange time reversal symmetry. Okay, so let me just start from a simple model. So in this simple model, maybe people doing condensed matter may be very familiar. It's just actually two copies of Majorana chain. So basically, each Majorana chain, we can solve it explicitly because in terms of this like insight Majorana pair, it's just a kind of atomic insulators. So it's very easy to solve the problem. It's basically just occupation number described by this intersite for states formed by these two Majorana. So if we have two components, then we have a spin, and we can define this time reversal symmetry. So naively, if we think about this like free fermion that is protected by this T squared equal to minus one time reversal symmetry, we look at this time reversal symmetry transform on this C operator. They just transform as a Cramer doublets, the usual way. So naively from this fermion perspective, we may conjecture that this gamma up and gamma down, basically we can decompose the complex fermion into two marginal fermions. So they also transform just like the usual way, like Kramer doublets. So we may guess that we just use the Kramer doublets with this t squared equal to minus one. But if we carefully think about this, it is indeed incorrect because each physical site is decomposed into four marginal modes here and contain like two pairs of marginal spin-on. So if each marginal spin-on transform like t squared equal to minus one, so this on-site symmetry becomes t squared equal to one. So it's not a correct way to do this.
No, it only leads to like the even fermion number states are t squared equal to one.
And yeah, I will explain that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's still correct. Yeah.
No. It's incorrect. It's just a t squared equal to one everywhere. Yeah, you can check this. So the classification of 1+1D symmetry protected topological order provides us with a very good understanding about this. And now we really look at this many body Hilbert space for this 1+1D marginal chain. So actually, on each physical site, there are four states. So we have this fermion up and down state and this double occupancy and vacuum. And actually, when we talk about t squared equal to minus one, to be more precise, actually we're talking about t squared equal to minus one for fermion parity odd sector and t squared equal to plus one for fermion parity even sector. So here we have a natural extension about this time reversal symmetry for on this fermion parity group. So IPF, which is a Z2 symmetry, so the whole group become this order four cyclic group. So it's a T quartic equal to one group. So according to the classification in 1+1 SPT phase, we know that this edge state should carry projective representation, which is a T quartic equal to minus one. So that's a rigorous statement that we can prove in 1+1D. But here I want to show how to realize such kind of T quartic equal to minus one symmetry in some operator language and make it manifest to the what's the physical meaning of such kind of T quartic equal to minus one symmetry. So let me show you the explicit time reverse operator for marginal doublets. Pretty interesting. It's kind of like a pi over four phase gate. So basically, this phase gate you can show why it's T quartic equal to minus one because it's pi over four gate. So if we do it four times, it's just like pi rotation. So it's not a surprise. Okay, so let me show this ghost can appear on the edge of this 1+1D marginal chain. If we define this, we call the chiral fermion on the both edge. So I will explain why it's suitable to call it chiral fermion. If I define this fermion, you know, the bulk fermion, it's like in the spin basis, I define C as gamma up plus gamma up prime. But here on the edge, I define this fermion in some different way. So defined as gamma up plus I gamma down and gamma up prime minus gamma up down prime. So on the time reversal symmetry, they transform in some different way. You see this fermion annihilation operator become fermion creation operator. So that means it's something like a particle hole transformation, and which means we can transform a vacuum to a particle, a particle to a vacuum. So that's my precise meaning about what's the what is the marginal ghosts. So let me show you this precise representation theory about this symmetry. So we know it's a projective representation, so there must have two-dimensional representation. So we assume this time reversal acting on the vacuum go to this one particle state, namely this C dagger zero. And then we act in this time reversal on this one particle state, we get back to this zero state, but with some plus minus I, this interesting sign. Then you can show this representation, T just a UK. It is a representation theory of T quartic equal to minus one. And some interesting property is that we can actually call such kind of marginal doublets carry quarter spin. So in the sense that this complex fermion carry one half spin. So it might be not a surprise that a marginal fermion naively think it's a square root to carry quarter spin. So the argument kind of we needed to understand this quarter spin in some global way or effective way, not mean in any physical process we can observe quarter spin because marginal fermion always create in pairs. So here I just show you this formulation how to view this quarter spin in some mathematical language. So first we can define this spin for Majorana fermion, because Majorana fermion is SO2 fermion. So we define this SO2 spin operator, it's epsilon function and epsilon matrix, which is just I sigma y. In terms of Majorana fermion, just gamma up, gamma down, and actually just the parity of this Majorana fermion. Then we show here this spin polarization along y direction, actually just the summation of this parity left and parity right. But we put some numerical factor S here to emphasize the actual spin of this Majorana fermion. But it's interesting, like in the fermion vacuum state, if let's say the all the PF equal to zero, one means vacuum, minus one means one fermion. Yeah, so we get this like a two S equal to minus 1/2. So that's the meaning of this effectively, we can say S equal to quarter. And one particle state kind of plus quarter. Okay, so it looks like strange and not easy to understand about this like T quarter equal to minus one symmetry and a quarter spin. But now let me show you in some global perspectives. It's indeed not a surprise. It has a deep relation with Duncan's one-dimensional AKLT chain here actually. So if we look at this fermion parity even state, because we have left ends and right ends, so in total we have four zero modes, four zero degenerate ground state subspace, right, formed by this four zero modes. So we can decompose this four-dimensional zero energy subspace into this fermion parity even piece and the fermion parity odd piece. So let's look at this time reversal symmetry action on this fermion parity even piece. And pretty interesting, if we assume like T0 is 0, the action to T11, because you can show it's not a one-dimensional representation, it's also two-dimensional. And then you can show when go back to 0, 0, there's a minus sign. So pretty interesting, in this vacuum sector, it's a T squared equal to minus 1, Kramer doublets. And you can show that in this one particle sector, it's just a normal T squared equal to 1 representation. It's not a surprise because the Majorana spin actually it's a SO2 spin, not a SU2 spin. So now we almost understand what's happening here. Actually, I can show you some cartoon here. This ghost is kind of just a play trick with us, because in the night you see this white ghost, but in the daytime you just see the black ghost. So it kind of just hide in the vacuum because the vacuum have a Kramer doublets. So here, let me show you how to relate this physics to Duncan's AKLT chain model. Spin one chain. Okay, so if we just look at this fermion parity even sector, it's kind of, on each end we have Kramer doublets. But because here it's, we have more physics, it's a kind of Majorana chain. You know, if we think about Majorana chain without any symmetry, it's just a degeneracy state with fermion parity even and odd. So here it's kind of like a combination of this Duncan's AKLT chain and this Majorana chain, because first we have this Kramer doublets protected by time reversal, and then we have this fermion parity even and odd state kind of degeneracy protected by this, we can say fermion parity in one dimension here. Okay, so after we discussed this example, and it looks like a weird behavior on the time reversal symmetry of these Majorana ghosts, I would like briefly mention this possible realization in high dimension, but I'm not showing you the explicit model here because it's not the main purpose of this talk. I will just use this kind of strange behavior to study this particle physics model and show you how to derive this mass mixing matrix. So where can we find these ghosts in high dimension? So in two dimensions, it's not a surprise because we have this T squared equal to minus one topological superconductor as well. It's kind of two layer, one layer with P plus IP superconductor, with the other layer with P minus IP. But actually, we can also derive some exact solvable model for the fixed point Hamiltonian and its topological term. And sure, it is a T quadratic equal to minus one representation for the vortex core. Such kind of model may also exist in 3D, but I still need to show that my model constructed on the lattice is a non-trivial one. Try to prove this is not easy, but there are some previous work by Charlie King from some argument about this BDG equation that the hedgehog in 3D could be a Majorana fermion, but if we impose time reversal symmetry, it could be a pair of Majorana fermion.
I'm sorry, that's not what that one is word says. It's that there's a Majorana and a zero mode in the core of the hedgehog. That does not mean that the hedgehog is a Majorana
fermion. I mean the it's catched by this. It's kind of bound state on this hedgehog. Yeah.
But the hedgehog has only one
theorem. Yeah, but here I have more. Here I just I'm not mean this work. It's the explicit work. I just mean if we impose time reversal symmetry, then it's possible to get a pair of Majorana fermions on this hedgehog.
You're comparing two copies of Charlie's work. And
yeah, it's kind of two copy. Yeah, if you make a time reversal copy, it might be possible to show this a pair of Majorana spin-on can be localized on this hedgehog. But I want to construct some more explicit lattice model in 3+1D and to show it's a TQFT. So now we ask what happens if we assume that neutrinons are Lorentz spin-on formed by four Majorana zero modes. Because when we talk about this non-relativistic Majorana spin-on, we just use this two component. But if we want to go to this Lorentz group, it's a kind of SO4 spin-on. So we need four Majorana zero modes. Okay, so for four Majorana zero modes, we need to define some additional symmetry because we not only have time reversal, we also have parity and something more exotic we can call it charge conjugation. I will show you later, but here let's just discuss what's the parity symmetry for these four Majorana zero modes. So it is not a surprise that we can define a p quartic -1 parity symmetry for a pair of Majorana zero modes as well, just to use the trick that it's like a pi over 4 phase gate for this each pair of Majorana fermion. So this upper prime and the down prime can be intuitively thinking as something like an antiparticle. I will discuss later. So this the four Majorana zero modes labeled by this spin index upper down and also upper prime down prime, they just transform in the following way. And then we can show this complex fermion in the spin basis. They just transform in this expected way because the parity does not change spin. But it could have some additional I factor because this is twice of parity, actually like a 2 pi rotation. So the fermion can pick up a minus sign.
So you have 4 zero modes. You have 4 zero modes.
Right. Then this in the chiral representation, you see this kind of left fermion mapped to the right fermion. So it kind of consistent with the definition that the parity will change the chirality of a fermion.
Do you know what does left and right mean here? Just
some label, but I assure you it kind of can be interpreted as this chirality because on the parity symmetry, it transforms from left to right. But here, the precise definition is just this. Just the label. Okay. So what is more surprise that actually we can define some non-trivial charge conjugation symmetry, which is also C quartic -1 for a Majorana fermion. It's kind of very strange because for a long time, we know that Majorana fermion does not carry any charge, so the charge conjugation must be trivial. But it turns out it is not if we consider it as a four component Majorana zero modes. So I can show you this charge conjugation, just something again like a pi 4 over 4 phase gate. It changes this upper particle to this minus like a down particle, but antiparticle. Okay, so in the spin basis, it just transforms in the kind of expected way. This upper spin transforms to the whole of the down spin. And with this I, because again, we can have this minus sign for a fermion if we do twice of this charge conjugation or particle hole transformation.
But what's the relation of what you write C up and C down and C left, C right?
C up, C down? Yeah, the precise definition is in the previous slide.
So up and down and left, right are different bases?
Yeah, different bases for complex fermions. Yeah, so again, this left and right fermion transform in some way looks like they can be called a particle or antiparticle. Yeah. Okay, so this is just some mathematical definition about this representation theory. So let me just summarize the, this CPT algebra. So I would like to call it a super CPT algebra. You can just doing this computation about this algebra computation on this four marginal modes, and you can show this CPT symmetry. They can be either commute or anti-commute, depending on the Fermi parity of the state. It's even or odd. And for all the three symmetry, if you square it, it's just a PF. Yeah. So it's minus one for the Fermi parity odd sect and plus one for the Fermi parity even sect. Okay, so one important property I want to show is that it actually commutes with this spin rotation. This is important because only in this way we can generalize all these symmetry in the relativistic field theory. And yeah, then we can discuss about this mass mixing matrix. Okay, so let me show you, now let me show you why I want to call such kind of symmetry as CPT from this relativistic field theory point of view. So here I just use some like gamma matrix, but I choose some different gamma zero. Let me call it a chiral basis here. So because it's related to this standard Majorana representation by some like yeah this unitary transformation, we like
so
just like.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So how did you get the relativistic
theory from your remote? Yeah, here I just started from this just talking about the CPT transformation for this field. Yeah, because I have already discovered the CPT transformation for a single particle. So I'm just to show you how to generalize this to the CPT transformation on the field.
Right, but your physical model will have
a... I don't have a model. I'm just talking about the CPT symmetry for the Majorana fields. Yeah. The model needs some lattice regularization. I cannot show you here. So here I can just summarize this CPT symmetry action on the fields. So you see that if we define a Majorana spin on cosine and eta, which is where each one is like SO2 spin on. And on the charge conjugation, they just transform like this cosine to epsilon eta and eta to epsilon cosine. And on the parity, just like particle to antiparticle, if we view cosine and epsilon as particle and antiparticle. And on time reversal, it's just like something transform like Cramer doublets.
Yes. So mm-hmm. In this case, if you act, say, C four times,
mm-hmm.
you'll get back the same field, right?
Yeah.
However, in this case, whether C to the fourth power, are they equal to minus one or equal to plus one?
C to equal fourth power, in this case, if we consider about a four Majorana Fermi, it's four Majorana zero mode, it's always one. So I mentioned equal to minus one, I'm talking about.
Presumably the C here is some kind of matrix.
Yeah, it's gamma 5, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
but you're not multiplying.
No. The gamma 5 is a result of the action of C. So C is supposed to be...
Yeah.
Sorry, C is not major. C is the operator.
Yeah, C is the operator. Yeah.
And I just wonder if C to the fourth power.
It's one.
As operator,
it's
so
one.
It's one.
It's one.
The reason I ask is because the action on the field is a C and a C inverse.
Right.
So the result of C and C inverse.
Yeah.
Inverse. If
yeah.
You do that four times,
yeah.
It's always one.
Because
the C to the fourth can still be minus one.
Because here is the action on this operator. So even when we think about the projective representation on the operator, it's always one.
No, but the C itself, is that projective or non-projective? That's my question.
C is a kind of action on this, C, this...
C act on the states, whether that's...
Right, because we have two C, each C, you're correct, yeah.
C is a projective.
But each C, this projective just in a sense for each individual Majorana spin on. If we consider four, this action must be, we consider this total action. So the total action and algebra is in the following way. It's C squared equal to PF. Yeah, so here, if we only think about a single Majorana spin on, could it be C squared, C quadratic equal to minus one. So let me just show you this comparison with the Dirac particle. So you see up to some sign, they just this spin on basis just transform in some similar way. But here it's real and here it's complex, so I have complex conjugate. Okay, so with this looks like a strange definition, we end up with some very surprised results that out of four Majorana zero modes, we are indeed able to define three types of different complex fermions that can be identified by their CPT symmetry. So yeah, as I show you that the super algebra I mentioned before, the CPT symmetry for this four Majorana zero modes, but for each pair of this Majorana spin-on, I'm able to define this T quadratic equal to minus one or TP quadratic equal to minus one. Sorry, it's minus one. So. And the TC quadratic equal to minus one symmetry. And let me show you how to construct this. And actually, it's not a surprise, because out of four Majorana zero modes, we can construct three types of different complex fermions. It's just like we have, out of four number, we want to pairwise them, and there are only three different ways. So if we pairwise like up and down prime, we can define this so-called D fermion. So on a CPT, they transform in a slightly different way. But it's pretty interesting that although this charge conjugation C, it's like a Z2 symmetry, but we have a factor plus or minus I in this action. So that means actually it carries half Z2 charge. So it might be not a surprise that we see a Majorana fermion can carry half Z2 charge in a Z2 gauge theory. On the other hand, we can define this like F fermion, basically just the usual definition of this fermion in the spin basis. So they transform in some slightly different way, and it's like it's the eigen state in this fermion parity action. So finally, let me show you that if we define this combined action of TP and TC. Mm-hmm. Oh, fine. Yeah. So we can conclude that Majorana ghosts can have three different phases. And you see on the TP and all on the TC, this D and F fermion, they just transform like a particle hole. So we can define this quadratic equal to minus one representation theory. So we see that the ghost can sometimes like a devil, sometimes like an angel. OK, so we have three generation. OK, so now let me briefly discuss the origin of Majorana mass. So the charge conjugation here, we want to gauge it and view it as a local gauge symmetry. And it's essentially an emergent symmetry. But it's an assumption. I cannot prove it. I just assume. And the origin of neutrino mass can be attributed as a spontaneous breaking of charge conjugation symmetry through Anderson Higgs like mechanism. So I just couple this mass field with the with this scalar field, because you know on the charge conjugation it transforms like a gamma 5, so it's not commuted with the mass term is not commuted with charge conjugation. But this scalar field should transform odd on the charge conjugation. Sorry?
What is L0?
I don't have. AL0 just means this free piece,
but
free fermion.
Kinetic terms?
Yeah, kinetic term. Kinetic. So this is a mass term.
And just ordinary kinetic terms?
But with some covariant derivative, but I cannot write down here on the collinium theory. Yeah, on some lattice model, you can write down some covariant, Z2, capital Z2 gauge field. So. it looks like this mass term a little bit strange because we have gamma 5 here. It's not strange, actually, because this gamma 5 here, gamma 5 squared equal to minus 1. So 1 plus gamma 5 is not a chiral projection, it's just a unitary transformation. So after we apply this unitary transformation, this field just transforms in some normal way. OK, so this is a CPT symmetry action. OK, so I almost finished. So let me show you how to make use of this kind of interesting CPT symmetry to describe this three generation. In terms of quantum field theory. So here, like for this D fermion, I can define the spin-on basis in the standard way and show that the equation of motion is equivalent to this left-hand chiral fermion. Then I can define this spin-on basis in some different way. Basically, there are three different ways, and you can show that they cannot be connected through any continuous spin rotation. So there are three equivalent ways. So why we have C and F as a linear combination in the chiral fermion? Because the quantum field, local quantum field, require this basis, eigen basis of charge conjugation. Okay, so now we can write down this gauging invariant mass term, and we can just redefine the field and make it in the standard form. Finally, we can make use this universal coupling principle, express all the fields in Majorana zero modes.
So you only have one Z2 gauge field or several?
One Z2 here. To get a mass, I only consider one Z2. So now I can compare these coefficients. I can show actually this there are some relations according to this universal coupling principle. So here this G could be plus minus one G prime corresponding to this flux, like around three generation, could be zero flux or pi flux in this mass mixing matrix.
So the mass term only contain one free parameter.
Hopi mass. Yeah, just a 3x3. Let me show you just like this. I have diagonal G and off diagonal G prime.
But this form of mass matrix is required by this CTP symmetry, which each family have a different representation.
Right.
See. So this requirement imposed on this.
Right. But surprisingly, the derived mass mixing angle precisely coincide with the experiment observations.
So does it fix the value of G?
Sorry?
Where does G disappears?
I will talk about it. Yeah, G actually equal to plus minus G prime. But actually, it's important. It's diagonal, so it will not affect this mass mixing angle. So anyway, when we're talking about the absolute mass, I will talk about the relation and G and G prime. Here from this universal coupling, you can show that the solution actually G equal to plus minus G prime. But here to get this mixing matrix, I don't need this relation anyway. So if I use the this solution, actually I can show the mass ratio just square root of 5/3. This M1, M2 almost degeneracy. So this is the experimental result. It's consistent with this normal hierarchy kind of assumption that M1, M2 very close, and M3 slightly higher. So the other solution is inconsistent because this M3 is in the middle, so it's inconsistent in both normal inverted hierarchy structure. Okay, so finally, the last slide. Finally, let me just say that the compatibility or incompatibility with the standard model. So in standard model, we know that standard model just predicts exact zero mass for neutrino. And at the direct Majorana mass is not allowed because it breaks electroweak gauge symmetry. And the standard way we call the seesaw mechanism. We introduce this right-hand stirring neutrino and assume this light neutrino has zero mass at the beginning. And then this MD just from this Anderson of this Higgs field condensed. And M is the ground unification scale. And we get a light neutrino in this volume. So if we make use of this scenario, we need to assume that this MD just a constant matrix, diagonal constant matrix. And then we get an inverted hierarchy, and this is the predicted neutrino mass. But of course, there's another possibility, might be more strange, that if we assume there is no stirring neutrino, and in this case, we get a normal hierarchy. But it's very hard to be consistent with the standard model. So. Yeah, if this normal hierarchy was measured in future, it would be a bigger surprise. Okay, so thanks for your attention. So here I just listed the
trying to understand the main solution. That's here you propose that there's a three way to impose this CTP symmetry.
Right.
And if you assume that the three family happen to each family take a different way.
Right.
And then you have this kind of interesting implementation symmetry, and that's a
lack of
this
concern. Yeah, because I started from this super CPT algebra for the Majorana zero modes, and it turns out it has three inequivalent projective representations. Right. So I can view this three type of topological defects as three generations.
But usually, when we have several different representations, they just transform separately. Why do they have to be hybridized by the mass?
Oh, because it's universal coupling. There's a Z2 gauge field that you can interact with different generations as well. Yeah, it's a Z2 interaction.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a basic question. So here your three generation of neutrinos, there are three different linear combination of four Majorana fermions.
Right.
But then the three neutrinos, are they linear independent from each other? My impression, the four Majorana firm can only give you two different complex firms.
This is a very good question. I want to clarify. On some lattice model, you can view they just the same fields or the same Majorana. But if you work out some low energy effective field theory, because they have different CTP transformations, namely they have different projective representation realization of the CTP symmetry. So the low energy effective field theory should be viewed as three kind of independent fields. You can view it in this way.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's, yeah, still have, I mean, yeah, I have my own questions. So your system started with some argument from a zero mode.
Yeah.
So how do I start from that and get the relativistic neutrino field?
In the latest model, it's possible to construct if you have some lattice model. Suppose we work out some lattice model on this hedgehog of superconductor. We just turn on some interactions between these zero modes, and it's not a surprise we have this.
Here
I'm not talking about a gauge coupling. Yeah. So.
Well, still, if you just impose like an iron-free zero mode
to
hop, like the
technical
hop,
yeah,
you must have the
boundary
problem, right?
Not a hedgehog hop. I just mean the zero mode. They have some interactions and hopping. They can hopping. Yeah. But yeah, this doubling problem in Xiaogan recently have a paper to maybe you can solve that. But I'm not talk about it. Yeah, it's a SO10 theory. It's possible to resolve this chiral gauge coupling.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, counter universal parity or normal counter universal parity, but what you call a charge point is actually supposed to be a Z2 gauge symmetry.
Right.
It's not what we normally call charge conjugation.
It's different from the charge conjugation in complex fermion. It's different because in Majorana fermion, the normal charge conjugation definition is just a trivial.
Right. Okay, but no, my other question, I mean, so counter universal is broken in our world, right?
Sorry?
So counter universal is broken.
It's not broken here.
But in the standard model,
yeah, in the standard model, there's CP violation. But here, I'm assume start from the limit without CP violation, and in future it's possible. So that's a future open question that we can add this CP violation physics. But we just start from without CP violation because T breaking is very weak in standard model. So this single particle physics, this T could be a very precise symmetry.
Right. But the related question is, don't we know like from weak interaction measurements what the universal and parity and so forth,
the neutrinos are? Yeah, that's the neutrino mass mixing measurement. It's very weak. This theta 1-3 almost zero. So I just started from the theta 1-3-0 limit. And
right,
in future.
Don't we know the electron neutrinos and muon neutrinos and tau neutrinos? Don't we know how they transform? And can we just check and see if it agrees with what you said or not?
What you mean, we don't know they transform? Here they measure this mass eigenstate and weak eigenstate.
They're related by the electron engagement to the electron and the muon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the electron, muon, and tau, I assume they are in the mass eigenstate because they have a huge hierarchy. So this mixing must be very weak. So I did not consider that effect. Yeah.
You're saying the things in the same gauge multiple don't need to transform the same way under discrete symmetry?
Yeah, that could be a very good future question whether this lepton also. I'm just talking about neutrino physics. Yeah. So this electron, tau and muon as they are doublets. So from my point of view, I prefer they transform in the same CPT symmetry. But I cannot prove that at the moment. Yeah. So here I just show you this interesting CPT symmetry will lead to the interesting mass mixing matrix.
Thanks, Jing Jing.